Hello, you're listening to The Space Orgy, an epic tale, space adventure, drama, philosophy, it's got it all. And this is part one, so you've started from the right place. Enjoy! God, ignite my words with diamond lightning, flashing permanence across the sky.
The pen is digging in too hard. It's tearing tiny triangular accordions.
Let me say something that doesn't shred itself and slow burn, yellow, brown, and crumbling, gone. Confetti, lint, as if anything I did here didn't.
Rockets slant into the sky, so tall they break perspective.
Gleaming Easter Island gods, the launching pads, their smoking altars. Scientists, priests of the performance, rocket steam, incense.
The mass of blastoff, crew and human cargo into heaven to join the larger craft that's waiting on the moon. A hopscotch of takeoffs, launching to land, to launch again, out into the further reaches and beyond. So goodbye, Earth, and goodbye, Sol.
We're off to the nearest system that can sustain us.
By us, I mean Mr. Monopoly. Inheriting the fortune from that inventor of chicken, great-grandpa Monopoly. Hard to believe that chicken was invented. Commingling pigeon and goose, he bred that tastiest of meats. It hadn't always been there. Grandpa M created it, becoming insanely rich. Dirty, filthy, rolling in the shit rich. I'm talking that, Mr. Monopoly. And friends were paid to be his friends. And employees. The rest of us. And we are lucky just to have the job, because that means that we and our children get to live. The world began its dying long before, but now it means it. Spoken words of warning now scream and shriek. What melted boils.
What ate like famine threshes like a swarm of locusts. Followed, of course, by an actual swarm of locusts.
The seas turn greasy green and black. They're filled with jellyfish. Translucent corpses rotting on the shores. Coastlines of sour jism with nothing to impregnate. No bulbous belly. No oozing fruits. Everything gone raisins. Everything withers. The birds fall from the sky. Some bugs went away, and a thick black cloud of others swarms to replace them, buzzing like an intercom. Crops are failing, failure spreads, and dry and dusty feet go walking. The miserable mass is exodus. They're throwing their bodies into the shit fan, drowning in the brackish brine, wandering in the desert, climbing every fence and wall. So desperate, they try in vain, and sometimes in success, to outrun the guns. The bodies, overwhelming every system with brutal statistics.
Just as enough small particles kicked back can escape a black hole's mighty suck and somehow fill a universe, so a few escapees pile on, becoming a horde of humanity.
Wastrels, wailing, hungry mouths. The race wars, wars to keep the stash away from ever-increasing grasping fingers. Their knobby brown knuckles might keep knocking at the gate, but no, they can't come in. No, not so long as Mr. Monopoly rules with his own private militia and the American Army as backup if things get dicey. And it is surely raining dice these days as the boxcar people and the crapped-out people keep rolling their bones over the hills and over the walls. So Mr. Monopoly built his own armada of spaceships to fly us up to the moon, then off to planet New America. Some call it Eden 2, some call it Einstein, or Arden after the scientist who discovered it.
But any first-year student of the history of Columbia knows that names don't match the flag that's planted. History is written by winners, baby. And geography is made by map makers, scrawling names on blobs.
Sidebar. Oh, there will be sidebars, so pull up a stool and get yourself a drink. We're going to be here for a good long time. Generations, even. Get used to the scenery and step into our tavern. About Amerigo Vespucci. A lot of people think he was the map maker, but no, He was an explorer, just like Columbus. Oh, and sidebar to the sidebar, all you Orwellian whitewashers who want to expunge Columbus from glory, if you think that Europe discovering a brand new world, that wasn't a big damn deal because it went ugly and slavish mass murder and torture, religious indigenous perversities, tell me when our history gets all sweetie pie and hunky-dory, and I'll join you for the kumbaya, but not till then. The only difference was Columbus didn't get that he'd found a new destination, and Amerigo did. So it's almost fitting the planet we're bound for is named America, but that's not why it is. It's called America because you call it America. Why the moon is still called the moon when we planted a flag on it, I'll never know. The map maker, still. But we're done with subtlety, and even if America ain't what she used to be, she's still one hell of a brand. Of course, as far as Mr. Monopoly, I told you we were done with subtlety, and I'm not much of one for names, is concerned. The planet's named Monopoly, and he's ready to go past go and collect all the money in the world. But first, he's got to leave this one, and that requires arrangements. Wading through his mansion, shouting demands at the poor valet who holds his phone, which probably isn't a device anymore, this being some few years into the future. He just needs his valet to be a human weather vane, a walking headship to pinpoint where this information is coming from and going to, because that's sure not going to be Mr. Monopoly. We need beef, and not that cell-grown beef that spreads like weeds in jars, but corn-fed cow. We'll worship them like Indians, only we eat the gods. Say that reminds me, curry too. And get a master chef. Let's stage a reality show and then we'll take the second runner-up. They're always better cooks. And a farmer, and a farmhand, and a cowhand, and a cowboy, and a rodeo clown. And then let's order some food in barrels so we can empty the barrels and have barrels for our rodeo clowns. One of the clowns can open a McDonald's. That's why we need the beef and curtains. Butter, biscuits, and brown rice, and white rice, yellow rice. Unless that's just food coloring. Better get some food coloring. Rice patties. Bamboo to weave those cone-shaped hats for the Chinamen poking two-pronged rakes into the patties. And corn. Whatever we make hats from. Wheat? Barley? Grass? Well, maybe we've got it covered. Beer. Get sugar and yeast, enough to make a brand new civilization. And books. But not too many. They're always a bitch to move. Violins. Get me an orchestra. A chandelier and champagne. A candelabra. A grand piano I can plant the hottest honey chanteuse in space on. All slicked down in her glitter gown so she can croon jazz standards while I fuck her so hard the keys get scrambled. Also some eggs. It'd be an insult to the family if we didn't bring chickens. Look at me. I'm a farmer. Wine. A cellar full of wine, but there aren't any cellars on spaceships, only cargo bays. Also some bay leaves, oregano, tomatoes. Look at me, I'm a farmer. Old McMonopoly had a space farm. Bleep, bleepity, bleep. Get it? Bleep? Because it's space. No EIOs in space. No IOUs either. That's why we're leaving. No full faith in the credit, etc. Well, it was good while it lasted. Rocket fuel! More fuel. You never want to run out of that. We've rounded up the guests and we've rounded up the criminals. We've got the human element. We remembered to bring some blacks and Latinos too because it turns out they contribute to the collective hotness. If I'm gonna spend an eternity in space, there better be an array of beauties for the space orgy I intend to have. No rubbers. But better get some Viagra or whatever brand name we're using now. It's a few years into the future that gets dicks hard. Hurrah! Hey, how about a falcon? I could see me floating in zero grav with my rock-hard cock out, naked except for a hood and a cape, and my leather falconer's glove, flying from one red-hot, wet-floating space pussy to the next while my falcon soars. Find out if falcons can fly in space. The valet's name is Valentine because of the names naming thing. We'll get to him tomorrow. The next day, Valentine wakes to a full day's agenda and a half a tank of gas. Ring, 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 zap. Alarm clock and electric shock. His sleeping beauty beside him and he both have combined a case of sleeping sickness and insomnia. early to bed and early, pointlessly just past midnight to arise, to itch and sweat and dream up new variations of card games. Is she awake too? Of course not. She's got the sleeping sickness. Bad.
No midnight lovemaking, only twisting, sheet stealing, and a kiss for his girl on the shoulder.
Her name is Sheila. She's his dream girl, especially now they spend so much time asleep and unasleep. But early on, they had such a sweet romance, it slapped them silly. He made valentines, construction paper hearts, a play on his name and how affection had addled his sophistication. Once he'd written poems for contaminated times, all rats and angst and ugly sex, free verse, terrible stuff. Chock-a-block with clever wordplay, curdled insights, jokes and judgments, arrogantly damning the world. So proud, but now her beauty left him simple. She smiled. He loved her. They laughed at just a look. They rolled around a couple babies in a crib. Everything discovered new, all hearts and flowers, although they both decided flowers were too much a bunch of rotting stems and rancid water, reminding them too much of our dying ocean. So they stuck with paper hearts she pressed in the pages of her books. She wrote copy, he was a personal assistant. She loved her job and he hated his. They loved each other, even if he had nothing to say. She did the talking, delighting him with her musical voice. She sang about pretty people she'd seen, the places they'd go if she ever acquired a taste for travel, the lovely drib-drabs of her day, and he'd say, "You sure look pretty. I love you." And he was stupid and happy until she got the sickness and went into a kind of coma with dreams. She's a sleeping beauty, and he lies awake worried. Electric shock and out of bed. She sleeps in, her face so smooth yet delightfully smooshed in the pillow. So still, the night sweat polishing her skin luminescent. Pissing, washing, shaving, exercising, washing, dressing, gathering, going. Hitting the store for Mr. Monopoly's morning delights. Something more than a muffin, some baker's creation. Flowers. Checks for the checklist, confirmation of morning appointments, the usual routine, only now nothing is normal, arranging arrangements to blast off into space. It's surprisingly similar to coordination to get a rich man out into the world, which makes some sense. This trip to space is being made to maintain this man's elaborately lavish lifestyle. Valentine thinks of his lovely Sheila, breathes, and checks the list. He thinks of how he'd like to fall asleep in the back of this limousine instead of making small talk with Jeffrey, the chauffeur. Actually, he might have nodded off for a bit, but now it's pickup time, and now the time belongs to Mr. Monopoly. "Good morning, Valentine. How are we proceeding? Give me that croissant wench and some coffee. We might need more gym equipment. And construction. Rivets, that kind of thing. Can't have the bench presses floating off into the spaceship. What about baked goods? And coffee beans? Bras and panties for the ladies. They love their bras and panties. And you know I love them too. Various styles so they don't go insane. We'll have to change it up every year or so. Eventually we'll learn to make our own. Better get some caterpillars. Silkworms. Butterfly nets. And hire a lepidopterist and a lapidarist. And a helicopter and a helicopter pilot. I can't believe we're sending up another batch tomorrow." All this is done and suddenly it's tomorrow again. I'm going to have to whip through the days if we're ever going to get into outer space. "Get up! Good morning, baby. Electric shocks all around. And then to the launch pads, a special day. Priests of science tinker with computer screens while mechanics poke the surfaces and probe the pressure points as steam is hissing like a snorting bull that's stomping to meet its toreador. Olé! Details, details. Snails are crawling on the tiles of the patio. Foodstuffs stuffed into cartons. People strapped into chairs. Tests, rumbles. Meter needles bouncing back and forth. animals live and slaughtered, a Noah's Ark and butcher shop.
Valentine oversees a special bin. He slaps an examination sticker on it, ties the plastic cord that seals it shut.
Sometimes it's good to be the boss man's monkey. There are perks. Enough! A lot goes into it. Let's get to blast off. To space!
You've seen it all before. The rumble and shake, the voices on intercom. The clouds roll out like dragon smoke, that tight little rectangle of fire. The Apollo 11 footage from 1969 times 3, times 9, and you can feel it in your spine. 10, 9, 8, blast off. Oh God, here we go. It's physics made real, the carnival ride you can't get off. The expectation and deflation of leaving the atmosphere. It's harder going back, believe you me. The silence and the sound, the music of our internal organs, the machinery of our machines, the gulping and the clicks, the bleeping, bleepity bleep, and the soft, low internal humming. Lots of wonder and a little bit of boredom, and then the dose is reversing. Sometimes the sprawl of space could use a gas station or a Dairy Queen. Get ready for interstellar travel. No one's allowed on the moonwalk, with the exception of Mr. Monopoly, Captain Magellan, and Valentine. Soft dust, the crunch that never crunches, more like muck at the bottom of the cove than desert sand, more like cheese, I know, but Parmesan. They stomp about in it, making underwater maneuvers without the water, that Superman effect of low gravity, undermined by the lack of perspective. How big are we actually? The nearest tree is an Earth distance away. The nearest doorway is on a rocket ship next to another ship the size of a slightly smaller moon. Its name is Arcflower, committee selected. Nothing this big has ever been built. It wraps the Great Wall of China around its girth like a cock ring. The moon is balls, then this is the shaft, engorged and twitching. Here it comes, universe. It's man's biggest dick. Get ready to fuck. Roaring in silence, reverberation of a giant self-contained atmosphere in the middle of the empty. Not quite as empty as it's going to get. The moon, it still has tiny speckles, molecules of frozen air, small flakes of snow that melt and shimmer in their nooks. The whisper that wrestles with the rocket ship's great drum of a body. A whisper silenced as the beast rides off into the sky of endless night ahead and blinding and never-ending sunset behind. The noise of our own locomotion softens the sound, the hum ignored inside a world inside a big tin can that's blasting through space so quiet. Off we go into the big black. Never looking back, we're off to New America. Mr. Monopoly sent some seeds ahead, terraformed the planet with groundbreaking, rapid-growing weeds, genetically modified vines, triffids that will choke any alien life that might be waiting. We're beyond being responsible to life in space. We're saving skins, so sorry, suckers. We need to breathe. That's it. Evolve or move on. The cylinder spins and centrifugal forces push us downward, our feet sinking into the loam that the workers are laying down, so everyone's occupied. Working keeps us happy, or at least it keeps us sane, a planned economy, bustling, capped in a bottle. We pay for our food, we go into debt, we'll land already owing lifespans to the company store. An Eden laden with pre-made mortgages, hoping it all falls apart once we're there, arriving strangers in a stranglehold, crossing our fingers, hoping we can't begin the revolution now while spinning in space. We've got to let the machine outlive us. We've been waiting long enough for the string to run out. We'll dangle by the threads. Mr. Monopoly ate the meat from the last living tiger, but he's keeping the monkeys alive. An entire ring of forest preserves and a wing of cubicles loaded with bananas and old-timey typewriters, liking that bit about the million monkeys typing.
not getting that it was a metaphor for infinity, and instead he figures he'll finesse the efficiencies, down to 1,000. It all pays off eventually. Brand new world, a brand new literature. Better start a book club. There's going to be a planet full of Triffids we'll need to pulp into something. Why do you think I'm writing this long-ass poem? Supply and demanding man-child mastermind, the monkey guano makes for good fertilizer. Most of the writing is shit, too. For instance...
Did you hear that? Do you?
Do you?
Also, do you?
What's the question?
We know what the question is, but what are they asking? Do we what? What? What do they want us to what? Also, is it a them that's asking, or are they an it? Is it a million monkeys, nub down to 1,000 typing, or is it just one solitary monkey? Isn't the whole damn point of this thing the magic of numbers?
There's a point to this thing?
Damn it, this might be the only big picture point to all this pointless regurgitation of humanity. Aren't artworks all that matter in the end? Does anyone anywhere give a crap about the policies of Ramses? Is it the pharaoh or the mummy that matters? Or even the mummy once the wrapping unravels? It's the case with all the gold there glittering and the weird little beard glued on.
It's not the epoch, it's the pyramid. Pyramids are all that matters. Everything else is just a pyramid scheme.
This spaceship's a pyramid. We're all walking mummies, living for our posterities. So do we? What do we do? What do the monkeys want from us? Or is it monkey?
Well, it was Shakespeare who wrote Shakespeare.
And who was Shakespeare without the queen? Without the globe? Just one of a million monkeys. No, it's the million monkeys. It's the algorithm. Strength in numbers. It wasn't one lone gun who wandered into Germany who shot Hitler. It was an army.
He shot himself.
And then we were one Nazi fewer. Hail fewer. My point is, we can do more with less, but not with one. Just one monkey typing? Bunch of gibberish.
That's what we have now.
Do we? Do we? That's the question.
I guess you've already come to your own conclusion.
The answer is the answer. Now check for more Nazi gold in that pyramid. Keep them all together. Shock the lazy ones, but give little Shakespeare here an extra banana and breed them with the best-looking lady chimps. We need a backup plan to the backup plan if all these sexy passengers turn out to be duds. If I can't make a second Eden, I'll make myself a third Gomorrah. If creationism fails, we'll try evolution. We're finally going to answer the question, which came first, the chicken or the typing monkey?
Empty, frictionless space, wavelengths of quantum layers, smothering each other in smoothness. Everything slides so nicely through the nothing, always bubbling with ripples of eventual electrons popping in and out like champagne bubbles, a bouquet which barely even prickles Arcflower's nose. Mars, the Mar-a-Lago of the solar system, a vacation home gone wrong, a terraform gone Thunderdome again, the greedy bastards bled it dry and went to war too early. Some blame it on the god of war, some blame it on the moons, but Phobos and Deimos are only lumps of rock, and no Greek gods ever swayed any American Martian mind. It was greed, impatience, the agricultural industrial system. I can show you fear in a handful of Martian dust. Jupiter steals the show. Its stripes and swirls look even more awesome closer up. That storm, you almost see it moving, still too far, still too big to know what it must be like there on the ground, but there isn't a ground down there. It's a big ball of yarn, a blanket of winds. They're blowing all the way down until the density of gravity grinds the hurricane to a halt, the thickness so gravy it becomes the meat. A would-be sun, a great wet windstorm monsoon that never stops, except instead of rain, it's elemental lava flowing like tornadoes. Sure, there are pockets of hell on every planet, but Jupiter's got to outdo everyone. It's got more demons per square foot, more mileage than hellfire can heat. A reference to Saturn's rings seems necessary. Close up, it looks more like a collection of rocks. The end of an explosion 10 million years ago. Mr. Monopoly could have done it in 1,000. Spinning around the drain, and isn't that space? A bunch of bits of debris. Hey, did you hear about the explosion at the cheese factory? There was nothing left but debris. Detritus balls circling each other, drains around drains. What keeps the tub from emptying? While we're at it, what keeps everything everything? It's gotta be something. Uranus. Poseidon sits on his ocean throne with Aquaman, Submariner, Captain Nemo, humanoids from the deep, the creature from the Black Lagoon, the Loch Ness Monster, Dennis Wilson, Davy Jones, that Jamaican crab from The Little Mermaid, and Frosty the Snowman, holding court. They wonder how Neptune melted and froze simultaneously. Poor Pluto. It's lower-cased, but seems indifferent, floating around with all the other rocks in other bolic orbits. So cold you could keep a salmon frozen on it. Eskimos spitting would become spectacular arcing statues. No noses to rub out here, boys and girls. Better heat your igloo well. We're so far from the sun. It ain't no fun. It ain't no fun when you're this far from the sun. There's only one alien to be seen. He doesn't look like he's from around here. And he looks sad and he sure is shivering, rubbing his hands. The belts. Again, a bunch of rocks, but not as close together as you might think. We're getting past the lagoon, the boonies, increasing distances, far. Your tape measurer will entirely unspool. Why so big? What good's a place so out and away? I mean, shit, this journey's taking longer than a back road trip through Pennsylvania. Arc flowers blasting nuclear fuel out its ass, unfurling its solar sail. We're ready to catch some rays. We're ever accelerating our inertia. Is better than expected. Getting some speed, outrunning the TV reruns we broadcast out into the galaxy. I Love Lucy is up ahead. Now we're putting her back in the past. I heard that Lucille Ball executive produced Star Trek, but this is the real Enterprise, and we're making a profit. Surprise, surprise, surprise. We're leaving the solar system, the first leg done, and out in the greater depths of space for only a few years when it comes to our attention. We're slightly off course. Thanks for listening. This has been The Space Orgy, written and produced by Dan Killian. Part one. Part two is wherever you see the thing that says part two. Thanks for listening.